Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How was that not on your top five list?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, that's one of those you have to get up and groove to. It's the morning shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game. It is 8:03 here on a beautiful Friday morning. Hopefully you guys are enjoying that ride into work. Or maybe, for the moment, you're a stay-at-home mom or dad. I don't know. Just for the moment. All right, so we're going to have some of that going on. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. We did mic'd up just a minute ago. Talked about the new Pope and his sports affiliations. And so this is a little bit of a unique experience because we are going to do Fair or Foul today separate of Mic'd Up. So if you're used to hearing Wake Up Call at this time, you are getting Fair or Foul.
And I'm worried.
And I am too.
I think I'm worried.
I saw you kind of shaking through the screen a minute ago. I've got a little nerve in my voice, if you can't tell. My wife is a little bit of a wild card. You know what I mean? Love her. A little bit of a wild card.
Well, she's the ruler of the house.
Well, maybe we'll let her weigh in on that here.
We'll get down to that.
As the one that runs the house here, I'm a little bit worried when what happens when the microphone's put in front of somebody that can lash out.
Let's go out to the phone lines and let's just double check the sound. Amy, are you there with us right now?
Good morning.
Good morning,
how are
Miss
y'all?
Amy Morgan. Happy to have you. Lindsay, are you available at this moment?
Lucky for you, I am.
There you go. There you go. Now, I will say this caveat before I kick it over to Allie. Our wives have never met Allie. Allie is 2 weeks in, so this ought to be.
No, my wife's met
okay,
Allie. We went
okay.
to her their wedding.
Mm-hmm. Very okay. Okay, I take that back. Amy has met Allie. Lindsay has not. But this ought to be very entertaining. Allie, please, turning over the keys to you, please be gentle on Beau and I, okay? Thank you very much.
You both should be very, very nervous about this. Amy, Lindsay, thank you both for joining us today and taking some time for Fair or Foul. We're going to start with an easy one. Fair or foul? Your husband wears the pants in the family. We will start with Amy.
All right.
I'm going to say foul.
Oh!
Yes!
Oh!
Right out of the gate.
Yes!
Yes!
All right, Lindsay, you're up.
1,000% foul.
Whoa. Whoa.
Mike, don't even try to. I actually have an argument. You don't.
They are 42-34s, and I wear them every single day. Thank you very much.
All right, fair or foul. Lindsay, you'll go first on this one. Dad jokes have found a permanent place in your husband's everyday speech.
Fair, but I don't think it took becoming a dad to bring them out.
I love it. Amy, what about you?
Foul. Not yet.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Not yet. He's still new.
He doesn't have the sense of humor I do, and I think we've all seen that first and foremost out here. But, yeah, I don't think
not,
like,
just to, not corny, Mike.
To Lindsay's point, it didn't take being a dad. Like, I've just always kind of been that guy.
Had that cheese ball factor.
My kids are just straight up like,
for
you're
sure.
so silly. You're so silly. I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. I wear it proudly.
All right, fair or foul, you and your hubby split who gets control of the remote 50-50.
Ooh.
Lindsay, you're
Ooh.
Up on this one.
Well, be careful.
I don't think it's really either of us. I think it's definitely the children.
Mm.
But Mike has added another TV into the living room
yeah.
so that he can watch what he wants to watch, but it's never what I want to watch. So I guess kids and Mike are 50-50.
Yeah, and before we get to Amy, I will just say that we counted televisions one time, and I was like, I'm not even sure how many of it is at this point.
Oh,
I have to have a backup in every room because my kids absolutely rule that. So, yeah, before Amy even gets to talk, I'm just like, dude, it is what it is.
All right, Amy, what about you guys? Do you guys split the remote control 50-50?
Definitely foul. Bo 100% controls every single remote in this house.
Not shocked. Not shocked.
I can't debunk any of that.
All right, fair or foul, you and your husband notice that the baby needs a change. Your husband waits to see if you're going to make the first move. Ooh. Lindsay, back in the day, was that fair or foul?
I definitely would say foul, but I notice, but then I wait for him to make the move.
Oh, I knew it.
Honesty, I love it.
I knew it.
I have a nose like no other, so I can tell, but I need him to do the dirty work.
All right, Amy, when you guys notice that little pork chop needs a change, does Bo wait to see if you're going to make the first move?
Foul.
Wow.
We have a team approach with diapers, but we're only 3 weeks in. So
he'll end up backing off at some point. he'll smell that diaper and be like, hey, I got to run outside for a second. Be right back.
All right. Fair or foul? Amy, we'll start with you on this one. The volume at which your husband yells at the TV when watching sports is louder than when he's in bumper to bumper traffic.
Oh, wow.
Foul. Definitely worse in traffic.
Yes.
Really?
I can attest to that. I've ridden with
this
guy.
For sure.
He's a little out of pocket.
Amy's gotten on to me. She gets on to me in traffic. She doesn't care about the sports, but when I yell in traffic, I definitely get in trouble. So every time we go somewhere, in other words.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay, what about Mike?
Fair. He definitely yells at the TV. He's not a traffic yeller. That is me.
Yeah, that is definitely you in that relationship.
Does he wake up the kids watching sports when he's yelling?
Well, yeah. I mean, he definitely could, but it's a little detached from where they are,
okay.
So they can't really hear him.
Yeah, I was going to say, my yells usually come on Saturday and Sunday, not really on, like, weekday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, like, when Bama's playing, like, they would definitely be woken up, but that's not really a thing right now in our lives. So, yeah, good call.
All right, for the next fair or foul, of course, this is the Mother's Day edition. We have Mike's wife, Lindsay, with us and Bo's wife, Amy, with us. Fair or foul, there have been times when your husband tried to fix something in the house, a toy or an appliance, and they actually ended up making it worse. Amy, we'll start with you.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say foul. I don't know. I don't remember him ever, like, failing at fixing something in the house. But sometimes there's things that he wouldn't attempt that he would be like, let me just call somebody. But he's never failed.
There's something to be said about a man that knows his limits, Bo.
Hey, I'm not a failure, Michael.
I'm a not even trier.
All right, Lindsay, I know Mike's a big DIYer, where do you land on this?
This is going to be crazy.
Well, he sold himself out to you guys, so only one thing I can think of, and so I would say fair, but it was the water spigots.
Oh, God.
And I know he shared that with everybody, so he's very handy, but those definitely took over.
I got
what about,
that
basement that he moved the door six times?
That Lindsay, basement is a rock
star.
Well, right
he now. Did. He did it. It just took a long time.
I didn't make it worse. Okay, I didn't make it worse. She's right though. The water spigots, which was I don't know, what was that 2 months ago, Bo? Absolutely whooped me. I spent a week doing this thing, and I was like, dude, I'm pretty sure I'm going to tear this entire place. Like at the end of the day, there was just a pipe hanging out of the wall, and I was like, I got to call a professional. So, there we go.
Well, fair or foul, your husband talks about sports every time you go out for a date night. Actually, caveat, we should start a wives group chat because my husband is also very involved in sports. So if we need to, like, complain about something, we should have a thread going.
Well,
all right, so fair or foul, your husband talks about sports every time you go out for a date night. Amy, we'll start with you.
I would say lately foul because the baby's kind of eclipsed all that. So, like, usually, yes. People like that would be something that would come up, but now I feel like it's more the baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lindsay?
I would say fair, but only when other people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went on a date last weekend, our sweet Uber driver listened to the show, and they talked about sports the whole way from our house to dinner.
we got into like a three-tiered conversation about J.J. McCarthy and the difference between Michigan and the Minnesota Vikings. It was quite an eventful ride. And he was very apologetic. He was like, I'm so sorry.
Yes, he was so kind. He was like, I'm not trying to hijack your date. I was like, it's okay. I like the silence.
All right, fair or foul, your husband takes out the trash every week, as he should.
Oh, wow.
Lindsay, we'll start with you.
Ooh.
Oh, no, Mike.
She's so right, too, dude. That hurts me to say, but she's so right. She walks the dog every night, and she, like, on Tuesday nights, we have to put the cans out. When she walks the dog, she'll get the cans out. That's on me, babe. Sorry about that.
Amy, how about Bo?
Fair. That's definitely a Bo chore. And even when he's out of town, like, he arranges for someone else to, like, bring the trash cans down to the road. Like, I do not do that.
Wow.
That's amazing. So,
wow.
Yeah. How you like now? Yeah.
Step my game up.
We're revealing the softer side of Bo. All right, last one. Fair or foul, you are excited for Sunday because you just know that your husband is going to give you the best Mother's Day ever. Lindsay, we'll start with you.
Wow.
Why do you have to start with me? Fair. He knows what I want for Mother's Day, and that's to sleep and do nothing. So I feel confident that that's going to happen.
You can say it, too. She made her own arrangements. She was like, here's what's going to happen Sunday.
Okay.
You
okay.
Make the call and make the appointment.
Yes,
this
did.
Is what I'm doing.
Well, Amy, I'm sure you know this has been a hot topic on the show for a couple weeks now about your Mother's Day. So fair or foul?
Fair. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited for my first Mother's Day.
Nice job, Amy. I know that gift is going to be electric. I can't wait to hear
what you talking about.
Oh, man. Nice work, both of you. And, Amy, from the bottom of all of our hearts, including Lindsay, I just want to say happy first Mother's Day. It's awesome.
Thanks so much. Happy Mother's Day to Lindsay, and happy Mother's Day to my mom and my mother-in-law.
There you go.
Same. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And, Lindsay, love you. Thank you. Didn't go too hard on me. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I love you, too. I expect a really good Mother's Day present.
Yeah, Mike. Now, she shouldn't have to tell you what she wants for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy.
Nice job.
I love you as well.
Them, nice
job. We only have one question we need to talk about when we get off the air.
Love you, too. Yeah. Bye.
Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out. Allie, nice job.
Thank you.
You were relatively gentle. I don't know.
Definitely wear the pants in my family. I'm just saying.
Dude, I don't
that
know.
Was a shot.
I thought, and look, man, I've said this before on this show after I met Amy, because I've hung out with Amy a couple times now. I'm not sure how Bo wrangled her in. She is the sweetest human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dude, y'all's personalities could not be more yin and yang, but that's how it works. You know what I mean? That's how I'm positive people say that about Lindsay and I as well, just in different categories. But just listen to her being like, no, he does not wear the pants in the family. Like, yes, that's what I've been waiting on. Yes. Love that, man.
So true.
Yeah. Anyways, man, we got to go to break here. Shout out to the Mrs. and obviously Miss Morgan, and Allie did a nice job with that, man.
Happy Mother's Day to my mom and my mother-in-law. And I know, Mike, you're mom and your mother-in-law.
And happy Mother's Day to Mama Mac as well.
That's
there you
right.
go. Yeah, throw it on in there.
Everybody's mom.
Yeah.
All the mommies
and
out there.
And Mama Macaulay as well.
Yeah, there you go. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We come back. We'll talk about more of these comments from Falcons rookies yesterday. And at 8:40, be scared, Allie, because we'll have Grant on. And maybe there's some rebuttals coming on the end of that one. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift, 8:23. Thank you so much for taking us on your ride into work on this Friday morning. And the weather's good so far. Obviously, today it's supposed to rain this weekend, sadly.
All day.
Not a fan of that. So, and honestly, especially on your end, Allie, thankfully the Braves are out of town.
They are.
In Pittsburgh. the Braves are out of town. We'll catch up with Grant McCauley coming up here in about 20 minutes. And I got a couple questions for Grant. I want to know what his thoughts are on Craig Kimbrell long term and who might be added or subtracted from the current roster when and if that comes to fruition. So a lot of cool stuff. The Braves do win last night in a walk-off fashion on a Drake Baldwin opposite field hit. Just Bo, just piecing together just enough to be able to get it done. And I think that it says a lot about this team. I know we've got a Snicker cut coming up here in just a minute where he's talking about how it takes everybody, but I don't know, man. I went back and forth, and both of you guys can kind of comment on this. Like, there was just certain points where I was like, not meant to be. And there were other points where I'm like, it's just going to happen at some point. You know what I mean? We keep making plays, staying in the game, like they're going to get this thing done. But in the end, they're able to get it done in the 11th inning. So it was good stuff.
The offense has not been great the last week and a half.
No.
But they've been enough. And, you know, the Dodgers series was rough, but the third game ended well, and you went on a three-game winning streak, and then you lose game three of this Red Series, and you pick game four. But all those games you had hitting that was timely's not – I guess timely is the word. You weren't good at parts of the game, but then when you really needed it, you came through. That was last night, and that was the first two games of this series. And – you know, I don't need you to score 9 runs a night, but if you can score 4 and win, I think that's a team effort. They just feel more complete right now than we've seen in a little bit because they're not great at anything, but they're good at some stuff. And the pitching has been – I love the pitching. I think Grant Holmes and even Grant Holmes, we got to give him some credit. I was listening to Abe and Randy yesterday, and I thought Abe did a good point of saying, you know, Grant Holmes wasn't good, but he still got you, almost to 6 innings. And that's important when you give up, you know, 4 runs early like he did. And I think that Schwellenbach was good. He wasn't, you know, shut out 8 innings, but he was pretty freaking good and got out of some stuff. And that's his 6th quality start in 8 outings this season, despite some of the, arm raising, what's wrong with him. Chris Sale has kind of righted the ship. The bullpen is not quite what you want, Mike, but you still just feel a little bit more complete than you have.
Well, and the momentum today feels like it's there because they came off that dramatic win last night.
Such a good point.
But you're so right about the drama going back and forth last night. I think, was it at the end of the 10th when Verdugo was called out at home?
Yes.
For the final?
Yes.
So, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm at least going to get in bed, put the game on, but I got to start calling it because it doesn't feel like this is going to go our way.
Yeah, and who was that? Was that Fairchild at bat that grounded up the middle through the pitcher's legs,
yes.
I believe?
Yes,
And Verdugo gets thrown out at home, which I have no problem. I know there were some people that are like, why do you go home? I had no problem. Like, you know, it was a really good throw, really good play, and it was honestly good contact from Fairchild up the middle. It was just really good defensive play, and it's one of those things that happens in those, these new extra inning situations. But it just was crazy because I never thought in a million years, based off of what we've seen the last, I'm going to call it 3 years, Bo, that we would see two sacrifice bunt attempts in one baseball game from the Atlanta Braves. I know that you talk about it, Bo. There's certain shows out there on the radio that like to boast their, hey, they're listening. I think the Brian Snicker's listening, man. I think he is. You know what I mean? I think it's just one of those things. He's adapted well.
Well, I think I'll be honest. I think he listened to the 6-man rotation thing for me, but I would. it's adaptive. He's adapting to what he is, and when you've got Acuna and all these guys, right, it's a little bit different. But when you have Eli White and Fairchilds and Nick Allens, and these are the guys, getting you these at bats, you got to do what it takes. You're also trying to win this game. You're trying to win it. You're scrapping and fighting and clawing. That's why I didn't have a problem with them pinch running for Marcel when they did, because you're trying to tie and then win the game.
Yeah, was it Eddie Rosario?
Fairchild was for Ozuna. That's why Fairchild got in at bat.
I was going to say Rosario comes in, and I know there was a lot of jokes on social. It's like, he's just saving himself from not pinch hitting him later in a pinch situation. Here's Brian Snicker talking after the game last night about, man, it took everybody.
That's guys kept after it tonight, man. They just kept playing, and it took all of us, obviously, the whole group.
It did, and I think that there are certain games, I think, where it's just manager speak to kind of say that. Like, this is a group effort. We all moved our energy the same. Like, last night, it took everybody. Like, you went to the back of your bullpen. You went to all the way through all your bench players. You obviously, Drake Baldwin and everybody else that's coming off the bench and running in situations and pitch hitting and bunting and everything else. That was a group win, and I just love seeing them be able to manufacture runs and be able to get it done in those pinch situations.
There's a couple of guys they used that were detrimental to the cause. Arcia, Sorry, Allie. Rizel. But yeah, it did. It took all. And I think you mentioned the Kimbrel thing a minute ago. Kimbrel started the season last year, if I'm not mistaken, and then he ran out of gas in September. Just ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's been, you know, working in, and he had to extend his spring training, or well, wasn't one for him, but it was this spring training for him. And then he's in the minors right now, and he's working through. But it's May 9th. I'm fine if we've just called up Kimbrel around, and I don't think it'll take this long, but around Memorial Day, fine by me.
Yeah.
Because I think he could really be an asset in the dog days. He's not a closer anymore, but he's still got stuff, and he's still a veteran savvy guy that knows how to pitch in certain situations. I wouldn't mind having him in the sixth or the seventh. You know, you gave Dezbor Hernandez looked like the day off yesterday. He probably needed it. And Pierce Johnson has been that guy right now. You know, it has went back and forth between Hernandez and Pierce Johnson, and right now Pierce has retired the last 25 batters he's faced. He's 8 1/3. If he could get what, two more outs, yeah, he would basically throw a no-hitter over his last nine innings, which is, I know it's different, but I think it might be harder,
yeah,
to do it that way.
Real quick before we get to Life of Squid, Terry Francona gets tossed last night on an argument that I didn't at the moment know what he was arguing about. Now he brought it up this morning. It kind of took a while.
They went through a commercial break and like, came back.
Welcome back. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Switched innings, and he was still in the game, which I was confused about because he was arguing for so long. He should have been thrown out.
Yeah.
They even went through a batter alley.
Yeah.
I think they had the thing was is that the first base coach was thrown out,
mm-hmm,
on the spot.
Right.
And Francona went over there, and then I think I'm not sure if Francona didn't get ejected at that moment when he came out to defend him, or he just was one of those deals where he kept going, to your point. But finally, the third base umpire was like, "No, wait a second, you got to go, man. Like, what are you doing?
We've moved on."
Yeah,
yeah. This whole thing's over.
It was like a whole day ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like that. Instagram, like, why are you still following me on Instagram? No, I'm blocking you now. All right, G.
Had these tiny hands.
Yeah, Baron Burton's little W Sauce Fire Star. I put the W Sauce on my French fries the other day. The Baron Burton's W Sauce. It's the steak fries they got from Omaha Steaks, Mike. Because that's what I did for our anniversary. I cooked some stuff from Omaha Steaks, put some W Sauce on there, Baron Burton's, and then I had washed it down with an Owl End Lager from New Realm Brewing, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics.
Do you have any guilt touting your Omaha Steaks just right in front of our friend Allie that we figured out two days ago was vegan? Yeah, is there any source of guilt for you? Is there no shame?
No, when she gets a Kale sponsor, sure she'll tout it in front of me. I'll be upset, so.
I have no issue with you having a wonderful steak.
She's like, Allie's segment brought to you by Smoothie King.
I mean, look, I'm the meat man. She knew what she was signing up for. I know that'll make the recap. All right. You talked about Manny Pacquiao earlier and needing to retire, and he's coming out of it, retirement for a fight. But a band, Mike, that you and I saw just last summer, the Rolling Stones, are still out there doing their thing, and that bothers one Johnny Rotten. Do you guys know who Johnny Rotten is? He's a front man for the Sex Pistols, was.
All right.
And he thinks they need, by all means, Rolling Stones should retire. He knew, though, what he said. He goes, like, I know I've offended music lovers, but he said, I'm not short of a song idea or two. There's a difference for me of why I'm still around. So he thinks that the Rolling Stones have gotten stale and they should retire. Now, he's just like, it's the thing. And I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it's cool that these bands can continue to tour. I know that there was a moment in the movie Almost Famous, which I think Allie maybe has seen.
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah,
where it's what's the late night host that was on Saturday Night Live? Fallon, Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
He plays the guy they bring in to be the manager of the band.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you think Mick Jagger's going to be up there at 70 years old still shaking. He's like, you're sadly mistaken. You have to make money now. Well, he was mistaken, and it was kind of a joke. But I'm all for the Stones playing until they all die off, honestly. I mean, I love them. I love that they're touring. I'm a Stones fan. My parents raised me. My mom and dad raised me on Rolling Stones, dude. I think Johnny Rotten, with all due respect, I think Johnny Rotten's got an incredible story. This is a guy that took time off to take care of his wife, who was very sick for a long time. And she's now I think he's a good guy. But, dude, stay in your lane. There's no reason to take shots at the Stones, all right?
I don't know. At what point, though, do you hang up and say, I'd like to enjoy the fruits of my labor?
But maybe this is what is really fun for them. I mean, who else gets to do that late into their 70s?
And Bo and I saw it firsthand last year when the Stones were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mick Jagger at 81 or 82 years old does a full sprint across the stage. And I was like, dude. Yeah, better watch it.
If you've still got it, you've still got it. I mean, we've seen the artists that don't still got it still going up there. Now, they should call it a day, but the Rolling Stones clearly still have it.
Yeah, they still
have it. And Allie, some of them are barely in their 40s that don't have it anymore.
I'm not going to lie. About 6 months before he passed away, I saw Tom Petty.
Oh, that had to be amazing.
It was at Wrigley Field. And, dude, he didn't move much. I'll just say that. Still
Tom
a good
Petty
show.
Was didn't one of my all-time much. Favorites.
Anyways, we have got to go to break. We're so far over. Shout out to the wives. I didn't get a chance to do that just yet. Shout out to the wives playing Fair or Foul at the top of the hour. You can hear that on the Odyssey app if you want to go back and hear my wife and Bo's wife play Fair or Foul with Allie hosting. That was a fun Mother's Day edition. I did just have a text from my wife. She's like, do I get to set questions up for Father's Day or what? I was like, just calm down. Speaking of which, though, on the other side of the break, we're going to have Mr. Grant McCauley on. And the first question I'm going to ask him is, does he wear the pants in the family? Stick with us here. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday to everybody on their way into work, enjoying this beautiful weather outside, a little bit cooler temperatures. It is the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squidbilly Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack finishing up week number two with us. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That, guys, is where we go to the phone lines.
It's time for revenge.
Yes. It's not as much fun when the rabbit's got the gun. Been saying it all day. Allie did a great job, fair foul, with the wives. And now we bring in Grant McCauley. And Granny, Grant, I'm just going to throw it out there real quick before we get to the Braves. Just hearing all about your guys' meet cute. We've had conversations. And she just straight up was like, yeah, Grant's pretty smooth. And I was like, what? She said she had to be put in her place one time because somebody was like, yeah, Grant, Grant's got some game. And, she finally realized it the first time you guys hung out. So good for you, my friend.
Well, interesting. I'm going to have to catch up on this on the Odyssey app, it sounds like.
The app don't have this, brother.
Yeah, this is off the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a show behind the show. I got you.
That's right.
She says you guys were burning the midnight oil the first time you hung out. So it's all good.
That is true.
The person she had to defend you with is a very poor judgment of character, and among other things. But anyways.
It's not me.
No, it's not. Grant Schwelly went out there last night and did what he does. I think it's what he does. I know he had a rough game here too. I think too much. Did people, and I know that the people I'm talking about because you talk to him every day. Did people make too much of his rough patch because it's a sixth quality start in eight outings?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little bit concerning. That's the thing. And he hadn't really had a back-to-back bad starts. I mean, I guess you could go back to when he broke in, but I don't know what the expectations really were at that time. I know for me, I was surprised that they'd called him up as early as they had. But clearly, he has shown, he's demonstrated that he's got the pitches to be able to make the necessary adjustments. It was just how quickly was he going to be able to get there? And I feel like last night was a huge step back in that direction. I feel like he's much more of the guy that we've seen dominate than the guy that got knocked around a couple of times. So overall, my worry meter about Spencer Schwellenbach, 1 through 10, was it about a 3? If it continued to be a problem, then yeah, that number could go up. But it's a long season. Not everyone's going to be a gem. And I think that this is as much as anything, and Brian Snitker talked about this yesterday, he learns more through this adversity. He becomes even better down the line. And that, I think, is just kind of who Spencer Schwellenbach is. And great to see him get back on the beam last night and throw some pretty important innings for the Braves so they could ultimately outlast the Reds and win that series.
Grant, it feels like getting to .500 for the Braves. We are taking two steps forward, or one step forward, two steps back. So I'm curious, do you think getting to .500 is as meaningful to the Braves, the team, as it is for all of us fans watching from the outside, analyzing when are they going to get there?
I definitely think it's that checkpoint that they want to get to very badly. I think it's like you're on a long trip and you know that stop that you really want to make is ahead, but then you start looking and you're like, oh, I thought it was only another mile. Okay, well, maybe it's a few more miles. You just kind of keep going and going. It just feels like it's dragged on for a while. But I know Brandon Gaudin had that great stat about teams that start 0-7, getting back to 500, how long does it take? And it was months for literally every other team. So with that in mind, as the Braves move into the second week of May, they are pretty close to it. This weekend feels like a pretty good opportunity against the Pittsburgh Pirates, a club that was 12-26 as of yesterday and fired its manager, who was kind of the sacrificial lamb for, I think, a lot of other things going on up there. But we'll stick a pin in that and just say that the Braves have a great opportunity to get themselves on track. I know that it does mean something to them. The guys have talked about that. But it's only as a stepping stone to get to the other bigger things that involve consistent play. And everybody down there is well aware of how important consistent play could be for them.
Hanging out with Grant McCauley, 99 The Game, Braves insider. And Grant, I think you bring up a bunch of good points. And I think that is, like, if you can get back to 500, there's a little bit of it feels like a reset button in a number of different ways. And one of the things I do want to highlight, you and I have had this conversation every week for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks now, where before the year we talked about how this roster was constructed, talked about the power hitters and the slugging. I got to give Brian Snicker a lot of credit, and you tell me if I'm pointing towards the right place. You saw a couple attempts at sacrifice bunts last night. There's been better situational hitting and awareness the last couple of nights. This team, it seems like, Grant, has changed its approach in recent weeks. For the better or worse, they've changed some of the things they've done at the plate. What do you make of that, and how long will that continue?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I haven't really seen an ultimate change. I know that they have gotten some hits ultimately, and they have won some games, and they have outlasted the Reds a couple of times here in order to do that. But I don't know that the team really looks altogether that different. I mean, you had some moves that were made last night, some of them that I think worked, and some of them that, and look, this goes with managing any and every game. If you knew the outcome, it'd be a lot easier. But pinch running Stuart Fairchild for Marcelo Ozuna with 2 outs in the 8th inning, I kind of scratched my head and said, well, I'm not sure that's when I'd pull that lever.
Right.
And sure enough, Ozuna ended up coming back up in extra innings. I would never ask Orlando Arcia to bunt after not having an at-bat for 2 solid weeks. But look, these are the things that we get to look at from the side and say, okay, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But somebody's got to make a decision. And ultimately, you're asking guys to go out there and keep themselves ready to execute. So I think they're trying to do every little thing that they can, to your point. But this is a club that, when it's going well, is going to have the middle of the order slugging. It's going to have one of the most dynamic players in baseball at the top of the order, hopefully setting the tone in the next 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is. And you start to feel a little bit more like it's the Braves that you expect. And they would like to very much, I think, feel that way. But it's been a long, crazy 13 or so months of not being that team that I think has created a bit of an identity crisis, I'm sure, for those who are watching, and maybe to a lesser extent for the guys who've been trying to stay healthy and trying to get back on track and trying to contribute to kind of get through that long journey and kind of get back to being what they're designed to be. Because this isn't a bunch of guys that are aging out into the bad years of their career. These are guys that should be putting up some of their best numbers, but for some reason, or reasons, it just hasn't been happening at that rate. And when you get a couple guys going, couple other guys either end up on the injured list or take a step back. So it has been a very, very weird, and again, to use that phrase, strange ride.
I don't think I want Orlando Arcia anywhere near your home plate at all with the bat, Grant.
Dang.
What is wrong with Ozzie Albies?
I don't really know if there's a straight answer to that in terms of, I went back and looked at, you know, Ozzie when he's going well. You know, I look at the StatCast data to tell me, okay, well, what's not happening that normally has? And with Ozzie, it really hasn't changed altogether that much, with the exception of launch angle. He does not have the right launch angle right now. And with that said, we're seeing a lot more pop-ups. But I'll give Ozzie Albies some credit. Like, look, there's a lot of guys that are going through it. It's not going to be one of these guys that's going to carry the team. You're going to have to get Albies and Harris and Olsen and Riley and, you know, on down to Sean Murphy, on down the list, to be more consistent. I just don't think they've found that yet this year. But with Albies, he drew the walk that got that rally started to tie the game. I would not have said, hey, you know, if we need a walk right now to lead things off, it's going to be Ozzie, because he's been aggressive, I think, to his detriment. But that was a professional plate appearance that he put on right there, and I thought it was important. And sometimes I think when you've reached a certain level, and you're pretty far away from it for a while, people start to wonder, hey, is this who he is now? I don't think this is who Ozzie Albies is permanently. I think that there's an adjustment or two that needs to be made. And when it does happen, and maybe he gets a little confidence going with a little hot streak, it might start to feel a little bit more like the Ozzie Albies people are expecting. Because last year, keep in mind, broken toe, then a broken wrist. He only came back to bat right-handed because he wanted to be with the team that badly. So this is a guy that wants to be out there and has been a big part of a lot of big things that they've done. It's just not looking the way that it did 2-3 years ago when pretty much everything was going right for this team.
It sounds like Bo needs to lay off Ozzie, in
Ooh,
my opinion.
Let's go.
The rotation, go back to pitching for a second. The rotation has started to solidify, and Bryce Elder, he's been an important part of that. What has been different for him this year? Because I think last year we were all a little bit nervous when he would be starting games.
You know, I think that talking to Bryce Elder on this homestand, he gave me some really good insight on what's changed from last year to this year. And in fact, that's exactly what I asked him to start our conversation. He said, well, to be honest, last year I just flat out sucked. And that's a pretty good self-evaluation because nothing seemed to go his way last year, comparative to especially the first half, at least, of 2023. And he said that, you know, I just had to continue to try to work to figure the things out. You know, he pitch-wise, I think, has done a much better job of, you know, tunneling pitches and really working with his whole arsenal, making sure that he's getting the deception that he needs that an A.J. Smith-Shawver doesn't need because he's going to run it up there 96 miles an hour and have a splitter that can, you know, dance around the bottom of the strike zone and get a lot of swings and misses. But I think Bryce Elder's done a good job of identifying who he is and what he does well and executing that game plan and giving the Braves some really important innings. He's done it. Grant Holmes has done it. A.J. Smith-Shawver has done it. And as of what we all heard, and I'm sure you guys talked about it a lot this morning, the idea of getting Spencer Strider back into that mix could make this rotation a little bit better as it comes together with a Chris Sale that's pitching well and a Spencer Schwellenbach that showed you exactly what you needed to see yesterday. So some of the parts is starting to look pretty good at this point, whereas I think it was a very much a work in progress over the first 5 or 6 weeks of the year.
Grant, finishing up here with Grant McCauley, Braves insider for 92.9 The Game. Grant, I just want to ask this question because it popped into my head last night. You had Blewett go for a couple innings, looked really good. Montero had a pretty good outing. I know that a lot of people are focused on Craig Kimbrell. Do you think there's a timeline on when he's done marinating, and what do you think the corresponding move will be for the Atlanta Braves?
I don't know the second part of that, but as far as timeline is concerned, I don't get the idea, at least right now, and I can be wrong about this because sometimes they just make decisions that are based on all of their internal stuff that, you know, from the outside we don't see. But I haven't really seen enough from Craig Kimbrell at AAA to lead me to believe that he's quite ready yet. He has a nice little ERA, but fewer than a strikeout per inning, pushing a walk. I think it's 7 strikeouts per 9, which is not exactly Craig Kimbrell territory. He's usually around 12 or 13, and he's also walked about 7 batters per 9. And again, a very small sample size, but at AAA, the fastball still, I think, starting to tick up a little bit, but not quite there. The precision, not quite there. So I think they're just going to give him that time because he missed all of spring training. He obviously struggled in the second half of last year. And he's not the guy that's throwing at 97, 98 miles an hour consistently anymore. So I don't know what the timeline is going to be for Craig Kimbrell. I'd like to think he has a role to play. But right now, I don't really look at the bullpen and say, hey, there's an odd man out, especially with what, you know, Scott Blewett did last night that reminded you that, hey, maybe this is a useful arm as well. And as far as options are concerned, to make a long story longer, I believe it's only Elder and Smith-Shawver that you could send down to the minors and not have to cut somebody. So that's another situation you kind of have to monitor right there.
There you go, Grant. We always appreciate it, man. And Allie has admitted that you wear the pants in the family. So it is what it is.
I don't know about that.
Good man.
Appreciate
good
you, Grant. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
You got it.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Morning Shift. Another fun week, man. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. You're going to have the Steakhouse coming up next. I can already tell he's raring to go out there. Till Monday morning, appreciate you guys. Have a good Mother's Day weekend, and make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.